You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, a BingeCast commentary.
Hello, I'm Bob Ross. I'll be your host as we experience the joy of painting.
From bingemedia.net, it's Wake and Bake with Bob Ross.
Welcome, everybody, to Wake and Bake with Bob Ross, the final Wake and Bake of 2017. I'm Jack, and I'm joined, as always, by my cohort, Kupka. What's up, man?
What's going on? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, for sure. We're right in the thick of the season. If my voice sounds a little off, that's because I'm getting my annual Christmas cold. So, deal with it. I'm also, dealing with it. So fuck you if you don't like it. We're going to get right into this because the Christmas marathon is on and I got places to be today. So let's see. We're going to start off with season 16, episode 4, which looks like it's called Mountain Mirage Wood Shape. I don't know what that means, but we'll find out. So
yes, we will.
Kupka, if you're good, we'll go on 3, 2, 1.
I mean, are you good? It sounds like someone might be arresting you. you hanging by Moreno?
No comment. All right, ready? 3,
yep.
2, 1, and boom. All right.
So, like you said, as we record this, it's Saturday morning. And fucking holidays are here, man.
Yeah.
Marathon's begun. We've had Christmas party, holiday. Oh my
what
God! There's
the
an animal.
What is this? Is that an owl?
That?
Yeah, that's. I think that's an owl.
It is.
Fucking Bob Ross, master of nature.
And for those that think owls are cute, adorable creatures, these things are fucking cocksuckers. So the fact that Bob's all like, hey, I'm holding an owl in my hand and he ain't fucking me, that just means Bob's a pimp.
This fucking bird looks like he rains death upon anything that comes in contact with it.
It
somehow
looks like
Bob is okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's his nub finger. That's actually a really good shot of it right there.
That is a good shot of it. I like it. It's, whoa! Fucking first we get an outlet, and look at this canvas, yo!
What the fuck?
Oh my God.
We're definitely ending the year with a bang here, so.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
So, Kupka, what, getting into the Christmas side of things, what's your schedule like over Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? Where do you gotta be?
Over the years, I've, some people would say I've grown more surly. Or curmudgeon-y.
Sure.
I call it efficient. So basically we're down to just Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, depending on schedule of family coming in on my wife's side. Her brothers both live in Nashville. Her sister lives in Grand Rapids. And now since we own a home, we're the hotel.
Gotcha.
So they're coming in today. One of her brothers is making it up this year. One's not. And her sister is making it down with her boyfriend. So they should be here about 3. We're actually doing taking a little time and doing, as my brother put it, a four-couple date night. There's an arboretum near us that does a light show, decorate all their fucking trees and the hot chocolate stations and all that stuff. It's like a mile of something walk, so we're going to do that tonight. Nice, relaxing way to kind of dive into the weekend. And then Christmas Eve, typically spent by my wife's aunt's house. However, my grandmother has been in declining health for quite some time now. We actually, although when I was told that she wasn't going to make it past Thanksgiving, I immediately said that woman's lasting till at least Christmas, because that's the kind of fighting attitude that she has. So I'll be stopping by but spending this Christmas Eve at my mother's for the majority of the night, and then Christmas Day is just going to be at our house, hanging out all day, breakfast, drinking, games, presents, drinking, presents, drinking, presents. and eventually passing out, hopefully without fighting.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, and then took Tuesday after off just because of the way the holiday falls, because, you know, everyone... We need to adopt the English way, or at least what I understand the English way of the holiday being, and give everyone an entire fucking week between Christmas and New Year's off, for fuck's sake. The amount that we work in this country, it's well fucking deserved. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I'm taking the Tuesday and the Wednesday off. But for me, it's more like if I don't get one of those days off afterwards, I'm fucked for a week. Because, so I referenced this before, but Christmas is just such a goddamn marathon for us. Because we've both got parents who are divorced between Meg and I. And then, you know, they all, some of them, there's like infighting with certain sections of the family and all this other shit. So whatever. So, let me tell you what the next few days are. So yesterday, Meg's sister came in with her kids, and that's great. This is my first time meeting one of them, and, you know, really happy to see them.
Now, where does her sister live?
Florida.
Oh, okay. So she really was going up north.
Yep. Excuse me. So, you know, they got in yesterday, so we had dinner with them and kind of got them settled in. This morning, we have to go pick them up. Then we have to drive to, like, deep in the boonies of Foster, Gloucester. Now, for those not familiar with Rhode Island, Foster, Gloucester is west of everything and just on the edge of pretty much Connecticut. It's an awful place with no cell phone reception, and it's just not ideal. So,
what does one do in Foster, Gloucester?
And they jerk off a bunch of horses. I don't know what the fuck they do, but... So in any case, we got to go to that. Then at around 5 o'clock, we got to head back to Coventry, which is about halfway between here and Foster, Gloucester, but on the way back, so it's not too bad. And spend some time there and then go to sleep. Now tomorrow is going to be the interesting day because tomorrow I have a Patriots game to go to. So,
oh boy.
Up early, tailgating, drinking, 1 o'clock game. Probably get out of there around 5, and then back to my favorite part of Christmas, which is the Italian Christmas dinner at my grandma's house.
Oh,
with
shit.
Absolutely fucking everybody. So I'm pretty much bringing a change of clothes, go straight to my grandma's, take a shower when I get there, be nice and fresh, sit down for some nice seafood, some pasta and meatballs, some soup, some Italian wedding soup, and just go to town. So.
Like, this has got to be an extra special day then, seeing that there's a Patriots game, because as one who does like to imbibe in the beverage of alcohol every once in a while, when you spend a day drinking, you're hungry like a motherfucker. So to be going to that dinner spread afterwards has got to be like a Christmas fucking miracle, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're going nuts for the tailgate, too. So my cousin's in from Montana, and he's going to school. He is actually going to culinary school. And he's making special steak fajitas. We have a tortilla soup, and we're doing like chips and salsa, which all three of those we've never attempted before at the tailgate. But you know, he's kind of running the show and prepping everything today. He's got the steak marinating in Coke syrup right now. So that'll be a thing, and I found a new type of shot that I like. It's a Christmassy shot. Never thought I would say this, but a little rum chata and Fireball tastes fucking delicious, man. Absolutely fantastic. So we'll be hitting some of that. But and then Christmas Day is it's a three-stop day. So stop one is at Meg's mom's with the girls, because, you know, Christmas morning with them. One's 3 and a half, the other's 1 and a quarter, so it's a big deal for them. Then midday we go over to my dad's house, where I get to see my niece Haley, and we do presents there. And then the end of the day is my other favorite part of Christmas, where I end up at my aunt's house with my uncle, who I'm going to the game with tomorrow, and we just drink ourselves into oblivion and eventually find our way home. So yeah. So it's,
I'm exhausted listening to that.
Yeah, that's not even the end of it. But you know, we've got other shit going on this week. But
oh my God.
It's a marathon, man. So you could see why I have to have the day after off. Like, it's not really negotiable. So.
I actually wouldn't have taken Tuesday off had I known that I had the Friday before off. I thought we were getting a half day, and I wasn't, in addition to that, I wasn't going to go to a Christmas party that my wife's cousin had last night because for that reason, like, look, I'm about to delve into 3 days of, to put it with a negative connotation, stuck with fucking 10 people, like, for, like, come on, need some me time, so,
exactly.
But, yeah, yesterday was, I don't know, even if it were the day, the way to weekend, so say 2 days before and 1 day after, like, you allow people to just slowly dive into the holiday, mentally prepare. Like, yesterday I got up, fucking went to breakfast, caught Star Wars for the third time, did some things around the house to prepare for today, went to a Christmas party, came home, now here I am, ready to go in, fresh and rejuvenated. You know, of course, it'll be miserable in probably about 15 hours, but, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, we all have our crosses to bear, right? So,
is there any big surprises or, I don't know, special events that are going on this holiday season for you as opposed to traditional years past?
I mean, nothing in particular. You know, the big thing is that Meg's sister and the girls are here, and you know, we haven't seen them in a couple of years. So this is the first time that Meg and her brother and sister are in the same place at the same time in, it's got to be like 3-4 years.
Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah. And, you know, they're all pretty young. You know, it's just that military life. They were never in the same place at the same time. So it's really big for them. So I'm doing my best to kind of put what Meg wants to do first. And, you know, the rest of it will kind of work itself out.
Absolutely.
But, I'm not all that, I don't know. I don't think anything's going to pop up, but we'll see. I mean, still waiting on a certain AMG screener palooza to happen. But, you know, until that does, I think everything's pretty well organized and thought out in advance this year. So we'll see.
Nice. Yeah, that's the kind of struggle I've had the past couple of years with my wife's family being from out of town there. Although it's gotten better as her sister's now graduated, has an established job. Everybody's basically established at this point, so it makes it easier to kind of set up weekends aside from the Christmas in July where we're all together. So I kind of like to do the same thing. Like, hey, you guys, the problem with that is they're a bunch of non-decision makers. So things don't get planned until, you know, today.
Yeah, that's kind of our problem as well. I really had to, like, put my foot down and say, no, we have to do this at this time, and we have to do this at that time, because
that's
getting car seats and all that stuff, you know, it makes it even more complicated.
Yeah, I was, you know, like I said, we were going to this this Arboretum today to go look at the light show, and we're trying to go to dinner beforehand. You know, it's kind of picked an odd time. We picked 6 o'clock. That way, you know, we can have the evening and also, you know, people can go about their merry way if they want to. Mm-hmm. So everyone was supposed to come in yesterday. Life happens. Things change. And so I'm trying to get a time of like, hey, guys, what time are you coming in? Come to find out that my brother-in-law may not be here till like 5 o'clock. It's like, well, all right, so we're ordering pizza? Or like, what the fuck the deal is? So it's kind of like shooting that text out of like, hey, let's go. And then apparently the key word that I learned in this situation is sushi. Because once everybody heard that we were going to go out for sushi tonight, it was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll get a speeding ticket for sushi, and you're goddamn right, I believe, were the responses. So, So I got the ball rolling, and apparently my wife said the magic word, so.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. It's not bad. Are you a big sushi guy?
I'm not, actually. I go for the teriyaki. I'm a big temperature and texture guy. I'm very picky of my food. There are certain things I just will not touch because, like, I don't do salsa just because something like that, that to me is more of a soup, and a soup should be warm. I don't know, maybe if someone heated up salsa, I'd actually fucking eat it. No idea.
Have you ever had a not like a canned salsa, but a fresh chopped one? That's not real. It doesn't have much liquid to it. Like, have you ever tried anything like that?
I know, and that's just because I don't. Then you get into the proportion aspect of that amount of tomato, onion, whatnot on a very thinly, you know, thin. You'd have to have a giant fucking chip for a little amount of salsa for me. And that's just, you know, retarded. So,
fair enough.
I've had the only fish I've had in true, I guess it would have been sashimi form, whitetail.
Okay.
Had that raw, but I could probably do salmon because there's been a couple times where we've made salmon a little more on the medium rare side. So I could probably do that, but everything else, and I'm not a big fan of, you know, sauces and shit like that. So again, creamy sauces, anything cream based to me needs to be heated up. Just, it's my thing. I don't know. Cold. Ah, here we go. It's fucking time stamping. Cold cream is disgusting. All right. There you go. Merry fucking Christmas, cocksuckers.
Yeah, we were, I was texting Alex the other day because we were on the shopping trip, the, famous men's shopping trip this past Wednesday, and mm-hmm. where we ended up at this place, the Red Bridge Tavern, for, you know, 9 o'clock dinner, and places, you know, your standard Irish bar, looks like nothing on the outside. You go in and it's gigantic and the food is phenomenal and all that stuff. It's local, so we, you know, we go there quite a bit, but we ordered a 10-pound order of Little Necks for the table. And it's sort of a Rhode Island thing, you know, Little Neck steamers. So they're all boiled. And you get them with a side of butter, melted butter, and two cups. One cup has butter in it. One cup has some water in it.
I'm gonna have to stop you for a second. What the fuck is Little Neck steamer?
It's a quahog. It's like an oyster.
Okay.
I always forget about it, but it's definitely like a Rhode Island staple. It's one of the, you can only get quahogs here. It's why, Family Guy, they live in the town of Quahog. It's a Rhode Island thing.
Okay. So, and these are cooked?
Yeah, they're all boiled.
Okay.
And, you know, there are a couple rules, like if the shell's broken, then even if it's, they all, when you boil them, all the shells open up. If one of them is cracked or anything, don't touch it.
Yeah, it's a bad same. It's kind of like oysters. Same kind of stuff.
Exact same thing. Okay. But so here's a question: is that something that you would try if you were here?
Oh, if it's cooked, absolutely. My wife loves raw oysters. I there's so many innuendos and jokes there that I don't understand. I could not do raw oyster.
Yeah,
cooked,
I don't get it.
I'll eat them all fucking day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually I'm a huge fan of seafood. Cooked fish, fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. I find myself easing into it the older I get.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I've had my fair share of sushi. I always default back to just a California roll. I know that's boring and barely any fish in it, but it's easy. You know, the spicy tuna is not bad either. Even though it's not really spicy and doesn't taste like tuna.
The thing I love about most about the restaurants and when they order the rolls is the presentation.
Right, exactly.
That's definitely like 90% of it for me.
Yeah, there's a place in California. My buddy lives there. And once in a while, he'll throw up a picture on Instagram of like these amazing, I don't even know how to define it, like a work of art. Of like a wooden bridge that they put on a table that is just like littered with every kind of sushi imaginable. It's basically like a rainbow bridge. It's incredible. And this is from a guy who he doesn't post his food on social media all the time. It's like, you post this because this is impressive, you know?
We went out for, we usually go out for sushi New Year's Eve night. It's kind of been tradition. And last year we went to a place out by our friend's new house, and they brought out a fucking boat.
Yep.
Like a wooden ship. And yeah, just it's probably the same thing like the bridge, just littered with fucking, it's awesome. Like, it's really cool. Like, that's a part of the culture. The part in their food where their culture comes out, and it's fucking outstanding, dude. It's a lot of fun going out for that. And that's why I love the fact that they have like the small fried rice or teriyaki option for people like me who are like, fuck you and you weirdos and your raw fish.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in the
Now, do you do sake?
I don't think that I've ever even tried it.
Same here. It doesn't appeal to me.
I would definitely, you know, I'm at a point now where, like, I'll try almost anything once in terms of food, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I guess I do still have some limits. Like, I don't give a fuck if I'm in Vietnam and everybody's doing it. I'm not eating a raw fucking pill bug. It's not happening.
No.
But, you know, if it's like a local cuisine or something, I mean, there's, you know, I think that's part of, it's part of the culture and stuff. I think you're, unless you have a gigantic aversion to something specific, I think you're kind of cheating yourself if you don't at least give it a shot, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
But yeah. Oh, sorry.
So okay. Yeah, that's one of the, you know, you speak of your possible cold earlier. I know so many people that have that staple cold. Like, my mom especially, every year. And it's because she would stress herself the fuck out. And, you know, because that's what moms do, worrying about making a perfect fucking Christmas. You know, she had two boys and then, you know, the marathon of it all. Like, I don't know. Like, that has got to account for, I can only imagine what kind of percentage of illness during the month of December.
Oh, yeah. It's got to.
It's fucking crazy.
It's just odd because, this is the second year in a row that this is kind of creeping up on me. And I don't even know why. Like, last year I was supposed to go to a game on Christmas Eve, too. But I had to stay home because I was just too sick. It was, like, super last minute. And then I was sick from then through, like, the second week of January. So it just demolished Christmas and New Year's for me, which really sucked. But I don't know. I'm overdoing it on the meds right now because I'm not going to let it fucking, you know, fuck me up this time. So
no such thing as overdoing it on the meds.
Well, that's very true. Let me tell you what, muscle relaxers are quite something.
Yeah, I've never partaken. Maybe I'll have to do that. I got this thing going around with my back, but I think it just needs a good stretching. Yeah. But
I had that was the other thing too. A couple days ago, I ended up with a pinched nerve in my neck, so my right shoulder blade. I was having trouble with my like range of motion. You know, looking over to the right and stuff.
Yeah, your response to telling me that, yeah. Like, I felt the anger coming through that fucking message.
Yeah, yeah. It was rough on Wednesday, but it's, you know, it's pretty much subsided at this point. I mean, I woke up this morning sleeping on my side with my neck wrenched upward, so that didn't help, but, but you know, it'll work itself out, so worst things could happen.
Now, I usually yell at Bob for his change in canvas, especially when he does, like, the oval ones and whatnot. But I gotta admit, this is fucking badass, man.
It's interesting.
Like, you put that in the right spot on a, like, white-colored wall with a little light over it, dimly lit. I think you got yourself a sexy little spot.
It's definitely a bold move. The only thing that's a little bit tricky about it is because it's cut to be the tree, it doesn't quite look as natural as the other trees. Because the other trees are brush strokes, right? And you can see everything behind them.
True.
This is very a little true. More stark. You know, I mean, obviously it's going to be, but...
It's a good point.
Fucking Bob.
What if... There's a wall that's painted the same color blue that he used for the sky.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably work.
That would be awesome. You know what this is? This is a small little hallway or bathroom fucking painting right there. Because you need to do specifically that. You get that color blue, throw up on a wall, and be like, and then it's so 3D. Fucking ridiculous. Oh, there you go. He solved your fucking problem.
Yeah, that's better.
Nice. You like it? Yeah, nice. That helps a lot.
All right, so kind of wanted to bring something up that I think you mentioned on Facebook. But so you were talking about your New Year's Day movies that you were trying to select. And you're saying how this year hasn't been that great for movies, and you know, that
it's been a mixture of not great, and I found myself checking out all the kind of good ones that she would want to eventually.
Right, right. So my question is this. If you were formulating a top 10 on the year, do you feel good about it right now?
Or do you feel good. I feel great about my top five.
Okay.
And I think I'll feel even better about my top five after today when I go see The Shape of Water. I have no doubt that that will be in it, just because of who the director is. Michael Shannon's in it. It's the end of the year. You know, there's a formulaic cycle to the movie season, as we know. So, yeah. How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I'm actually, so next Sunday, they're doing a sneak preview of Phantom Thread up in Brookline, Mass. So I think we're gonna go to that. And, you know, it's at my favorite theater in the world, Coolidge Corner. They're notorious for bringing in, like, a star or a director unannounced for a Q&A after the movie. So,
ooh, very nice.
Fingers crossed. But that's where we met Aronofsky when we saw The Wrestler. But, I liked a lot of the blockbusters that came out this year. But in terms of, like, a lot of films that I really loved, I don't know that there were a ton. I had a good time at the theater with most of what I went to see. But, you know, I mean, for me, it's like, it's Dunkirk and Blade Runner. And then there's kind of, I know that's not true. I did love Guardians 2. But, like, those three, and then it seems to be a drop-off, you know?
I think I don't want to get into my stuff yet. Sure. I want to wait till the other guys do theirs. And plus, you know, like we said, Screenerpalooza, that's kind of the struggle this time of year. I feel like a movie like Molly's Game may end up in there. Sorkin's directorial debut. Yeah. We know it's going to be written well. I think you'll be surprised at that statement that you just made. Because if I rattled off my top five right now, I think you'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But my problem is exactly the fact of, was I just entertained? Like, was it just a really great time? Mm-hmm. Or was it actually a well-made film? Oh, and actually, I was entertained.
You're right.
That's my problem.
Yeah, now and, that I'm thinking about it, there's one other that I really did love this year, too. But.
So that's why I think my five are good. Totally happy with, no problem, probably even top six, but I after that it's probably just going to be a personal enjoyment level. I don't think there's anything, you know, and that's what'll make, you know, movies are all about opinion. So, you know, I may have The Last Jedi in my top 10 while someone may not have it in their top fucking, you know, 2000 of all time. So
yep.
But oh. Yeah, I've been looking at it a lot lately, just kind of reviewing, going back and seeing what has come out throughout the year, anything I've missed. That's the shitty part about this year, because you hear these movies that you haven't had a chance to see yet that are in people's top tens. It's like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know? That's always the bullshit. Like, fucking Golden Globes are nominating movies that haven't even released yet. Like, fuck you. Right. But.
And the fact that they slow-rolled Shape of Water for 3 weeks, like, making it wide the week after Star Wars, it's just, I don't... Did they really think Justice League or wanted to give Justice League that much room? Are they the same fucking company? Is that it? Did we just correct the case?
Maybe. I don't know off the top of my head, but fucking weird.
Very weird.
Oh, damn it.
So, let's see. What else is going on? Have you gone and kind of looked at any other top tens? Comes to music, games, anything like that, kind of checked in there?
Yeah, a little bit of the gaming side. I mean, wow, that's a creepy fucking credit
yeah.
sequence. Holy shit.
Al doesn't look so friendly anymore. He's staring into my soul.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fucking weirdo.
All right, let's get the next episode going, then I'll talk about that. So what are we at? This one's going to be season 28, episode 6.
Yes.
All right, great. Let me know when you're good.
This is weird. Why is it not popping out automatically? I'll have to look into that. All right, I'm good.
All right, 3, 2, 1, and go. I'm looking at gaming lists, trying to remind myself of what I played this year. It seems like a lot of people are pointing to Horizon Zero Dawn as being game of the year. I've seen a lot of votes for Zelda Breath of the Wind. And kind of thinking about the year in terms of that, I did play a lot of great games on PlayStation. Xbox as well, but like as far as exclusives go, I think PlayStation had a significant advantage this year.
As they have in most years past.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but...
yep. I haven't really looked into music very much because I tend to not... I tend to not listen to music when it's new. I don't know what it is. It just... there's something about... I don't know if it's just ingrained in me, but I need like 2 or 3 people to tell me to listen to something before I even try it, you know? And I know that's like a bad way to look at music, but I can't help it, you know? It is what it is.
I'm in total agreement with you, and it's a time thing. Like, because you have to take so much time to get into a band or an album, especially if it's like, you know, a concept and it's like, oh, that's what I missed the first time around. Like, that's 2 playthroughs. That could be 2.5 hours of your time. Like, right. So yeah, I'm totally agreeing with you there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, getting into bands the way that I do or artists, it typically is always revolved around one amazing live performance, you know, because then if I can see them playing it and I understand their wavelength, then it helps, you know.
What does that do for you when you then go back to listen to them on an album and it's like, oh, fuck, they're nowhere near as good as they are live?
Yeah, well, The Who is guilty of that for most of their albums. Like, Tommy's their big, you know, rock opera. But even they admit, after they made Tommy, they had no idea how to mix an album. So, you know, Live at Leeds sounds way better than Tommy does. So the 2-disc live, Live at Leeds... has the full version of Tommy. So if I listen to Tommy, I listen to that, you know? It's complicated because Springsteen is the same way. His album stuff is great. His live stuff is out of this world. But you can't really grasp that until you see him play it, you know? Him and the band, and, you know, helps when you see them live and play a 4-hour show with no intermission, go absolutely fucking insane on the stage. Hendrix was the same way. I wasn't really into Hendrix until I saw the Monterey Pop Festival performance where he burned the guitar. And then it was like, holy shit, this guy is out of his fucking mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much every artist I like, I can point to the live performance that got me. AC/DC, the first time I saw live at Donington, Thunderstruck, that was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Ray Vaughan playing at he played 2 shows at live at Montreux. It's a music festival. Montreaux. You can look it up. But he played 2 shows. It was like 84 and 87. And at the 84 show, they actually booed him off the stage. And at the 87 show, he had established himself and became, you know, the Stevie Ray Vaughan that we know. So. Seeing those 2 performances, him playing, you know, absolutely identically, because that's how he played. But to see the audience reaction is interesting.
Because they wasn't ready for that.
Exactly.
But their kids loved it.
Yeah. But pretty much every band I'm into, I can point out the live performance that hooked me. And I maybe that's part of it, you know? With some of the stuff, I just need to see it done. For whatever reason.
Right. Yeah, well, there's a truth in a live performance that you can't always get on an album, and that says a lot about a band, especially for me. Like, you see, I think it's a good way to see the gimmick in a lot of them. Most bands have a gimmick. They need to. You know, they're musically decent, but they need something to set themselves apart, so since they can't do it that way, they put on a fucking stage show.
Right.
Fucking Gwar. They're decent bands, sure. But it's all about the stage show with fucking Gwar. I mean, come on now.
Clapton, actually, it's funny you should say that, because... So Clapton, one of his big sources of influence, and obviously everybody's, was Chuck Berry. And Chuck Berry's whole thing was that he was unsure of himself on stage. That's why he did the duck walk. That's why he would dance around and all that shit that he did for so long, because he felt that his guitar playing was subpar and he needed something else to, you know, drive people's attention away from that. But so Clapton, on the flip side, he said, well, fuck that. I'm going to play guitar and I want people to appreciate my guitar playing. So I am going to have no stage presence. And that's just right. His style. He doesn't do shit. But when he plays, I mean, especially for somebody who plays guitar, even as fucking terribly as I do, it's fascinating watching Clapton play guitar.
You know? And that's one of the things I've always struggled with, even hearing that, you know, from you, hearing that from you now makes me a little bit more interested, but knowing that he just stands there for the most part, like how entertaining could that be for how long?
Yeah.
Like, can you sit there for hours and watch it? I saw Satriani once. Yeah. Satriani's a fucking amazing guitarist,
right.
But kind of same thing. Like, no, there was no show. It was him.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to fucking digest.
Yeah. I mean, I always look at it from the perspective of, you know, I've been playing for 12 years, but I'm not that great. You know, I enjoy playing for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But to see the way that Clapton works through a song, so effortlessly, you know, it's a level of skill that I respect so much that I'm just fascinated by it. I mean, there's no other way to describe it, really. You know, it's just, there's something about the way that he can transition from playing something like Layla into, you know, A Wonderful Tonight, that it's just the work of a consummate professional, you know, and I can't help but be impressed by it when I see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm definitely impressed by it. It's just the duration at which I can handle a particular art form, I guess, is what it comes down to. You know, just like I feel like I need to see Springsteen, but I just don't know if I need to see 4 hours of Springsteen. Like,
I'm not that big.
See, I actually had this happen when we saw Ben Harper a few years back. It was at the Chicago Theater, which, if you ever get a chance to go to, it's an amazing venue. And we get there, and there is just a rack of guitars on stage, literally 12 or 13 guitars. And it was him and his guitars and telling a little story. It was basically an evening with Ben Harper.
Yeah.
And it turned, you know, I figured hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, you know, it's Christmas time, that whole thing. Motherfucker went over 3 hours, basically played the show for free because of union overtime and all that stuff. He was just having such a good time, which is great. Like, for those that are fans of his, fucking, you got your money's worth. You got a memorable experience. For me, it was, I got to fucking work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that sucks, like, because I do enjoy the guy's music, but I'm just not that much of a fan of it.
Right.
And don't know that I could become a fan of it because of so many other bands I'm fans of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this particular tour, Springsteen was really pushing himself to do the four-hour show near the end of it. But I will say this. So I was a moderate fan of his. Again, live performance. He has this album that was right after he made Born to Run, live album called Live at the Hammersmith Odeon. It was in London. And he opens it with this piano version of Thunder Road, which is an okay song on the album. But his version of it on the live performance is fucking spellbinding. Like, it's the moment. I remember hearing that for the first time. That was the moment where I was like, oh, I need to pay attention to this guy, you know? And it completely threw all of the political bullshit that I'd heard about him out the window. You know, I was just like, I get where this guy's coming from. I can hear it in his voice, you know? And then seeing him live for the first time 5 years ago. Again, I was a fan. I wasn't a huge fan. I was hoping to hear a couple of songs, but that was about it. But just to give you a little background, so the E Street Band, he always had this guy, Clarence Clemons. He was their saxophone player.
Mm-hmm. He died years ago, didn't he?
Exactly. So he had died a few months before we saw him the first time.
For the first time. Oh, that sucks.
But here's what happened. So his nephew, Jake Clemons, took over for him. And Clarence, one of his big songs in the group was a song called Jungle Land, which is on Born to Run, because in the middle of the song, it goes into a saxophone solo. Very soulful, kind of, you know, the whole song sort of slows down for him and you know, kind of just leans right into it. And they hadn't played Jungle Land since he died. Well, we got to see the first performance of Jungle Land after Clarence died.
And it was, shit.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And they had this big, you know, video tribute to him in the middle of the song. And there are, you know, a lot of Springsteen songs are about his early days as a band, too. So, like, Clarence's nickname was the Big Man. So anytime you hear the Big Man in a song, like, he's talking about Clarence. And that performance just, again, solidified, like, look, Springsteen is a multimillionaire. He's got a daughter who's into horse racing. I mean, he's got money. But the man knows how to entertain, and he knows why his fans come to see him, and he delivers. You know, the last time I saw him, he was picking signs out of the crowd for a full hour of the show, playing songs that they hadn't played in, you know, 20, 30 years. Just picking them up on a whim, you know, it's impressive. But again, I'm a big fan at this point, but it's due to those live shows. Like, it's because I went and saw that, and then I got it. You know, I fully got it at that point. So that definitely helped. But I understand when people see his stuff and they're intimidated by it. It's a large back catalog, and not all of it's great. But he knows what the great stuff is, though, which is nice.
So. Yeah, I kind of have a... I'd like to catch a band by their third album.
Yeah.
And if I can't catch them by then, I kind of look at it as a lost cause.
Sure.
And I'll be kind of that sideline fan where, you know, I'll one album will kind of stick with me, and then everything else will just kind of be like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of checked that one out, but just haven't had the time to get back into it yet. So, you know, that kind of goes to something you brought up on the Bingecast. I think it was last week's show or the week before, in regarding television watching and just the amount of shit that's out there now. It really is feeling like an oversaturation of media where we're just not meant to, and to go coincide with the conversation I was hearing on the Joe Rogan Experience, our brains aren't meant to handle this much fucking input at once, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. There's so much. And I feel that there are so many shows and movies people aren't liking these days that I thought they would or should, because they're burning through it as opposed to sitting down and kind of soaking it in. Or they're having it on in the background instead of actually paying attention to what's going on screen. I think there's these subtle nuances that are still there that make them good shows, you know, that make them look good because that's why they're on television or in a movie. The people are just fucking missing because they're either on their phone or, you know, engaged in something else at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm also not a big fan of the rush to get it in as soon as possible. You know, like...
It used to be an event. It's not anymore.
Well, a good example is, like, that new David Ayer movie came out, Bright, right? Just came out yesterday. I've got no fucking desire to see that. I don't care. I didn't like Fury. I hated Suicide Squad. Like, it's just, I got a feeling it's not for me, right? But you notice in the binge group, immediately, it's like five different people are watching. Everybody's going to get it in immediately, right? Which is cool if that's your thing, you know. But I don't feel the need to rush to that. Like, if at some point I'm interested, then I'll check it out. But I'm kind of tired of Netflix all of a sudden, you know, everything's supposed to be on my schedule, right? But, you know, Netflix drops something and all of a sudden social media just buzzes about it for like 2 days. And if you don't keep up with it, then you're fucking behind, you know, and you're not up on all the references and shit.
Right.
I'm kind of done with that. I'm good, you know, like I've got other shit that I want to see, and it just, again, becomes that question of time. It's like, I don't want to spend my time doing this. Stranger Things 2, the second season, I didn't watch that. I have no desire to watch that. And it's just, I'm done. I don't know. It's just not on my wavelength, you know? And I don't think that everybody's really appreciating just how much control Netflix is, like, dictating over their you know, movie and TV watching lives at this point when this shit drops.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's not, I have a lot of complicated thoughts on that. But
yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. I might go watch WALL-E later. Yeah. I'll put it that way. Maybe maybe followed up with Idiocracy. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I'm feeling. But yeah, it's a perfect example for me is Mindhunter. You know, the first week or two was out, like people are talking it up, like whatever, all right. And I finally got interested, and we're slow rolling it. Like it's been, I think, 3 weeks, and we're just about done. Like perfect. Like I've never felt more satisfied and actually engaged in a show in a long time because I wasn't trying to get to the next fucking episode so I can start talking about it. Like it's just, it's weird that we want to force this, I don't know, force pop culture down our throats these days. It's like, fucking stop it. Just push back a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little worrying, you know. And when you think about the fact that Disney's, you know, about to own Hulu, I mean, what are, you know, they're going to be dictating most of our fucking entertainment, and what do they want us thinking, and what's going to be the subliminal, you know, after effect of binging 16 Marvel movies in a row or something? You know what I mean? Like,
I just hope it's preparation for the fact that there are actually mutants and superheroes out there, and that will be soon visited by people from other planets.
It's possible.
That's what I'm hoping. It's always been preparation. That's why the aliens gave us the technology. Nikola Tesla, man, it started with him. He's not human.
Ooh, man.
But anywho, this is a very fucking great painting, by the way.
Totally different perspective than I think we've ever seen out of this.
Yeah. Especially with the way he started, like he started with the top of the mountain, but it was to have the foresight of making the snowy side of it so incredible. And that color green for those trees is one I've never seen him do before.
It almost looks like an aqua.
More on the blue side, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Nice little morning mist.
Unbelievable.
So, Rhode Island being as small as it is, how much are there pocket windows of time in the day and Christmas that you can slide through and avoid the bullshit, or is it just everyone kind of moves at the same time and it's a clusterfuck all day?
Oh no, I can get around any traffic's never an issue.
Okay,
I'm like. We have, you know, 95, which goes, if you go far enough, it goes from Maine to Florida. So we've got 95, 195, 295. But I know all the back roads to get anywhere. So, you know, for today is a bitch because just going out to the fucking boonies is a pain in the ass. There's only one way in, one way out. And you feel like you're isolated from the world, and it just sucks. I hate it. But, you know, if I'm...
So you're not a camping guy then, is that what you're saying?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right, interesting.
I mean, I put it this way. I'm not camping in the sense that, like, I did a lot of camping when I was at Boy Scouts. And that shit just, I don't know. It wasn't fun. It was just more of a pain in the ass, you know? Like, what am I here for? I'm here to fucking make, you know, freeze-dried pancakes and be cold? Fuck that, you know?
I understand. I understand.
So... Christmas Day is a much simpler day, even though we have to be in multiple places. Everything is within like a 2 mile radius. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, we're kind of lucky that everybody lives around the same area.
That really does contribute to the fact too. Like my mom is an hour drive from here.
Yeah, that's so tough.
Like I finally found out that Christmas Eve is starting at 4. My mom's having dinner at 7. So, you know, it's going to be a late Christmas Eve night, but still I want to hang out a little bit beforehand. So I'm like, well, fuck, I'll go there at 4. If I leave at 5, so I'm only there for an hour, because then I got an hour drive, hopefully just an hour, because who knows who else is in my same boat.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, fucking travel sucks. I don't know, like, a girl at work, I think she was telling me the truth, was actually flying in and flying out Christmas Eve. Like, she was going in the morning and leaving at the night, just because she doesn't like dealing with... I was like, all right, you're kind of nuts, but all right. Maybe that's doing it right, because then you come back, you got all day Christmas Day off. Like, Cool.
That's rough.
Yeah. I don't know that I ever want to experience that travel on that this time of year, like ever. My cousin got married around New Year's a few years ago, and we missed that because we just didn't have the money to do it. And it turned out there was a snowstorm in Chicago, which prevented some people from, I think, even getting there on time, which is the other fear come wintertime in the Midwest and Northeast is setting up plans to travel flight-wise. Not so smart sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. It's the end of my rant.
Yeah, no, just to... So last night, when Meg's sister got in, they were lucky that they landed when they did because they got in just before the freezing rain started and, like, coated the roads with, you know, nice sheet of ice, which is still there this morning. But, yeah, that's... Travel this time of year has got to be so, I don't know, liquid, you know? Like, you just got to be able to make a change on the fly if you have to, but...
Yep. Yeah, I remember one specific time when, and this was, I mean, the suburbs were newer, although, I, you know, it's, at this point has been over fucking 25, 30 years. Christmas Eve, like, typically, I mean, from my parents' house in the city to where my aunt was maybe a half-hour drive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whiteout conditions for, you know, three blocks from the house, it's like, nope, turning around, going home. And then, shit, sometimes, depending on where you're at, that fucking 20 minutes of snow could just turn into a 45-minute drive back. Mm-hmm. What's the worst traffic you've ever been stuck in due to snow like that? Travel time.
I don't know that I've ever been stuck in traffic because of snow.
Oh, you lucky motherfucker.
I mean, we've been stuck in traffic because of torrential rain before. In August... We're usually good for like one like
good
biblical
one.
Fucking rainstorm.
Sure.
And when those
end of summer shit.
Yeah, like you get one of those and you're just like you're locked down for, you know, however long it's there. I do remember when I was a kid being stuck on the highway with my mom, when one of those just came out of nowhere. And I do remember seeing like a tractor trailer truck kind of skid off the road. He recovered, but it didn't look good. But
wow.
But yeah, no, I've never been stuck anywhere because of the snow. I know 10 years ago there was a big fiasco over by the mall in Providence where a lot of people were traveling. And again, the weathermen completely fucked up and did not prepare us for what was supposed to be like a small dusting. There was like a crosswind or something or a cross jet stream that caused it to just hover over the city for an extra 2 hours.
So oh, no.
The whole highway got shut down, and we had this gigantic snowstorm across the whole state. But a bunch of cars had to be dug out, and it was bad. I know a couple people who were stuck in that, and one guy in particular who half of his car got destroyed by the plow that came by, so it was a whole thing. But yeah, I've never been caught out in it, though.
Lucky you. Yeah, that's the... The shitty part now that I've noticed the past few years is because of the populace and probably the cost of having the men out there, they don't plow nearly as often that they need to. Kind of waiting till either it's done or there's no traffic at all. And that sucks. Because it can create for... There was one time... This was probably... 10, 15 years ago at this point, but me and my buddy were at a diner, having some dinner, coffee, hanging out, shooting the shit. We knew the storm was coming. It was like, all right, first plow that comes by, we're taking off. Let the roads clear. Be good. 2 hours later, no fucking plow. It's like, dude, we gotta, and you're like, yeah, because, you know, living in the city, parking's gonna become a fucking nightmare because of that exact reason. Like, there's no plow, you know, plow zones, things like that. And it turned what should have been at a normal time of that night, a 25-minute ride home. It took like 2.5 hours. Oof. Of like slow rolling because at this point the snow was getting near 6 inches on the street. I'm driving a 98 Honda Civic.
Oh, yeah.
I may or may not have had my low profiles on at the time. So it was a fun experience for sure. So yeah, it's and that's the shitty part about living in a bigger city is you don't have, you know, you either don't have the option to get somewhere quickly or you got just too many fuckers out there to even do anything. So I guess lucky you. Though the rain is interesting. Is it just that the terrain just can't handle it, or
it's more just how do I explain this? We just get a rainstorm that creates.
It's just that massive.
It's just there's so much water falling all at the same time that you can't see through.
Oh,
yeah. I'm trying to think though. I mean, I haven't been caught in a massive snowstorm. I've definitely been caught out in the snow though.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember one time in particular when I had my Impala, which was my last car. We were going back to the first apartment that Meg and I had together. And it was on a main road where basically the road would, from my perspective, would be going forward and sort of bend to the left and go down a little bit of a hill. Not much of a hill, but just enough, you know. And our place was on the left. So I remember one time going through there, coming home from work with Meg and one of our friends in the car. And maybe going 10 miles an hour, going real, real slow to hit the turn and all that stuff. And I remember just completely losing control of the car. It started moving sideways, skidding across the road. I mean, if any car was, you know, driving at that time, they definitely would have smashed into us. But we were lucky because there was a giant snowbank in front of a telephone pole that cushioned our hit. So I was able to kind of recover from that and then get us home and then, you know, just basically stay there until it subsided. But
Jesus.
Yeah, so I was lucky. But all right, man. That's it. That's all we got.
Yeah, it is. It's fuck. It's been another year, brother. Fucking. Yeah. Not as often as we would have liked, but you know, hopefully in the new year we get a little bit more. I don't know, on pace, as it were.
Yeah, a little bit. December is always one of those months that I don't know, kind of creeps up on me, and then there's, you know, all kinds of shit that happens, but
a lot of changes going on for everybody too. Like, it's been an unsettling year, but not in a bad way. Like, yeah, you know, so, you know, and then you'll probably 6-12 months from now be around the same boat. So, you know, another year or two, maybe you'll be able to settle into your next decade of your life. Maybe.
So we'll have to see. All right. Well, that's it for Cupcake and I. Keep an eye on the site. We've got all kinds of stuff coming up soon. We should have an announcement about Better Call Binge next week or two. Sportscast is still going. Gamecast is still going. Bingecast is still happening. And, yeah, I think I might be out of my mind, but I think there may be a Lollapalooza announcement coming pretty soon.
So, yeah. A Lollapalooza announcement.
Yeah, so we're going to have to stay tuned for that one. But
I'm interested. I know things.
Oh boy.
People don't think I know things, but I know things.
Fair enough. All right, well, that's it for Cupcake and I. So from both of us, we say happy painting and God bless.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.